This is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should stop.
Yeah, keep going.
Satyagraha Ashram, founded on Vaishak Shuddhi 11th Sambat 1971, May 25th, 1915, at Kotra, Ahmedabad, and since we moved to Sabarmati. Object. The object of this ashram is that its members should qualify themselves for and make a constant endeavor towards the service of the country, not inconsistent with universal good. Observances. The following observances are essential for the fulfillment of the above object.
1. Truth. Truth is not fulfilled by mere abstinence from telling or practicing an untruth in ordinary relations with fellow men, but truth is God, the one and only reality. All other observances take their rise from the quest for and the worship of truth. Worshippers of truth must not resort to untruth, even for what they may believe to be the good of the country, and they may be required, like Prahlad, civilly to disobey the orders even of parents and elders in virtue of their paramount loyalty to truth.
2. Non-violence or love, mere non-killing or not, is not enough. The active part of non-violence is love. The law of love requires equal consideration for all life, from the tiniest insect to the highest man. One who follows this law must not be angry, even with the perpetrators of the greatest imaginable wrong, but must love him, wish him well, and serve him. Although he must thus love the wrongdoer, he must never submit to his wrong or his injustice, but must oppose it with all his might, and must patiently and without resentment suffer all the hardships to which the wrongdoer may subject him, in punishment for his opposition.
3. Chastity, Brahmacharya. Observance of the foregoing principles is impossible without the observance of celibacy. It is not enough that one should not look upon any woman or man with a lustful eye. Animal passion must be so controlled as to be excluded even from the mind. If married, one must not have a carnal mind regarding one's wife or husband, but consider her or him as one's lifelong friend, and establish a relationship of perfect purity. A sinful touch, gesture, or word is a direct breach of this principle.
4. Control of the palate. The observance of Brahmacharya has been found from experience to be extremely difficult so long as one has not acquired mastery over taste. Control of the palate has therefore been placed as a principle by itself. Eating is necessary only for sustaining the body and keeping it at a fit instrument for service, and must never be practiced for self-indulgence. Food must therefore be taken like medicine, under proper restraint, in pursuance of the principle one must eschew exciting foods, such as spices and condiments. Meat, liquor, tobacco, bhang, etc. are excluded from the ashram. This principle requires abstinence from feasts or dinners which pleasure as the subject.
5. Non-stealing. It is not enough not to take another's property without his permission. One becomes guilty of theft even by using differently anything which one has received in trust for use in a particular way, as well as by using a thing longer than the period for which it has been lent. The fine truth at the bottom of this principle is that nature provides just enough and no more for our daily need. Hence, it is also a theft to possess anything more than one's minimum requirement.
6. Non-possession or poverty. This principle is really a part of Numbers 5. Just as one must not receive, so must one not possess anything which does not really need. It would be a breach of principle to possess unnecessary foodstuffs, clothing or furniture. For instance, one must not keep a chair if one can do without it. In observing the principle, one is led to a progressive simplification of one's own life.
7. Swadeshi. Man is not omnipotent. He therefore serves the world best by first serving his neighbor. This is Swadeshi, a principle which is broken when one professes to serve those who are more remote in preference to those who are near. Observance of Swadeshi makes for order in the world. The breach of it leads to chaos. Following this principle, one must as far as possible purchase one's requirements locally and not buy things imported from foreign lands, which can easily be manufactured in the country. There is no place for selfishness in Swadeshi, which enjoins the sacrifice of oneself for the family, of the family for the village, of the village for the country, and the country for humanity.
8. Fearlessness. One cannot follow truth or love so long as one is subject to fear. As there is at present a reign of fear in the country, meditation on and cultivation of fearlessness have a particular importance. Hence its separate mention as an observance. A seeker after truth must give up the fear of parents, caste, government, robbers, etc. And he must not be frightened by poverty or death.
7. Removal of untouchability. Untouchability, which has taken such a deep root in Hinduism, is altogether irreligious. Its removal has therefore been treated as an independent principle. The so-called untouchables have equal place in the ashram with the other classes.
Nine. Vanashrama Dharma. The ashram does not believe in caste, which it considers. Has enjoyed Hinduism because its implication of superior and inferior status and of pollution by contact are contrary to the law of love. The ashram, however, believes in Vanashrama Dharma. The division of vanas is based upon occupation, and therefore a person should maintain himself by following the hereditary occupation, not inconsistent with fundamental morals, and should devote all his spare time and energy to the acquisition and advancement of true knowledge. The ashram, four stages, spoken of in the Smritis are conducive to the welfare of mankind. Though, therefore, the ashram believes in Vanashrama Dharma. There is no place in it for distinction of Vanash, as the ashram life is conceived in the light of the comprehensive and non-formal sannyasa of the Bhagavad Gita.
10. Equality of religions. The ashram believes that the principal faiths of the world constitute a revelation of truth. But as they have all been outlined by imperfect men, they have been affected by imperfections and alloyed with untruth. One must therefore entertain the same respect for the religious faiths of others as accords to one's own. Where such attitude becomes a law of life, conflict between different faiths becomes impossible, and so does all effort to convert other people to one's own faith. One can only pray that the defects in the various faiths may be overcome and that they may advance side by side towards perfection.
Physical labor. Man can be saved from injuring society as well as himself only if he sustains his physical existence by physical labor. Able-bodied adults should do all the personal work themselves and may not be served by others, except for proper reasons. But they should at the same time remember the service of children, as well as the disabled, the old, and the sick is a duty incumbent on every person who has the required strength. This was added afterwards by Ganesha.